Hey, good morning. Glad to see you on here. Got my computer over here so I can see people saying hello. See Jan and Juan Carlos. Wes is actually in the room as well and online. He is super special. But we're glad that we could just be able to continue to do these devos in the morning in the midst of this crazy and strange, unprecedented times for us and for you guys as well. And so let's just pray, and then we're just going to dive right into the word. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. I ask that you bless your word to us, Lord, as that's what we need to hear. We don't need to hear from Brandon or for anyone else, Lord, but from you through the power of your Holy Spirit. So just speak to us, encourage us as we are in our houses or eating breakfast or working around the house or going insane, whatever it would be, Lord, encourage us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to be in Romans chapter 5. So, if you have your Bible, you have your phone, tablet, whatever you desire to be, maybe you have Romans chapter 5 tattooed on your body. Just lift up your leg and look from it, whatever it would be. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Talking about Jesus. Brett last week did such a great job. Kudos to Brett. Man, what a great teacher he's become. It's been nice. As he kind of said in his little testimony, about being picked last for the dodgeball team or whatever, and I apologize to him. That was probably me that did that. But what a great man of God he's become, specifically in teaching. I've been very blessed by it. But he did a great job of talking about Jesus and that it's not about our works, but it's simply by grace. It's simply by his merit, what he did for us, that he took on our sin, right? And we get his righteousness, the great exchange. What a great deal that is for us. And so as we continue on that thought, we're going to see that here. Paul is continuing from Romans chapter 1 through 4, kind of laying out this case of what God has done for us and Jesus and his sacrifice and that we are sinners. And then here's what we get, right? So let's just dive in, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We are justified by faith, our faith in him and his finished work that he has done. His righteousness now becomes ours. We get that for anyone who would believe. And so the first thing I want to point out here, though, is number one is that we get peace, right? We get peace with God. And this is not the peace of God that we talk about that passes all understanding that we see in Philippians and other places that rules our heart. This peace is actually literal peace. We were at enmity with God. We were his enemies. We were at odds with him. And then now there is a peace between us, right? He does not desire to pour out his wrath upon us anymore because we once were sinners, but now we're not because we are covered what? By the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's Jesus only. That's why it's this narrow road of Jesus only because he's the only one that could pay that price for you and I. So we get peace with God, and we are no longer in this position of where we are going to receive the wrath of God, excuse me, from him. In that dreadful day when we would stand before him someday. So it doesn't mean that we have peace with the devil, right? It doesn't mean that we'll have peace with the world or peace with the flesh, right? Or even peace with the sin that we would still battle against. That's still going to continue, right? And so sometimes I think we kind of get confused a little bit with that of, man, I'm going to get saved and everything is going to be great. And that's what the second verse really deals with here in Romans chapter 5. But we don't have peace with the flesh. We're always warring against it. We're continuing to fight. So we don't have peace with those things. But the greatest peace that we have is with God, that he's no longer out, if you will, to seek to fight against us. We're actually switched teams. We're on his side. He's seeking to support us. He's seeking us to give his Holy Spirit, right, and encourage us and empower us to bring himself glory. And also for us to be used, to be salt and light in this earth. So we're on his side. And what a great, again, deal that is for us in the midst of things. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, I'm delighted to find that sin stings you and that you hate it. The more hatred of sin, the better. A sin-hating soul is a God-loving soul. If sin never distresses you, then God has never favored you. And so just that reality of that when you and I have peace with God, we want to hate sin. We hate sin as God would hate sin, but it doesn't mean that we have this peace with our flesh and with the world around us. We have to continue to fight sin and hate it, right? And abhor it and continue to run after him, right? And then he says, into this grace which we now stand. We stand in this grace. Grace is how we are saved, but it's also something that we continue, to have this undeserved favor. And sometimes I think we get saved and God died for me, but and grace was for the gospel. But we don't realize that the gospel and grace is something continue to be walking, continue to remind myself of that. I have unmerited favor with God every day. Even though I don't have peace with the world and I don't have peace with sin and I don't have peace with the flesh in that sense and I fight against it, I absolutely had God's unmerited favor every day in my life. He's not seeking to get me, as I said last week with Wendy. You know, he's not mad at us. He's mad for us. And I think that's a big difference. And we need to remind ourselves that in the midst of this time, as a believer, we have favor with God. We have favor with God in the midst of everything that's going on. And so grace is not just for the idea of perfection in that moment of salvation, but it continues to mature us and continues to grow us each and every day as I continue to what? As he says here, stand in it. I continue to stand in grace. It means I don't have to prove that I'm worthy of God's love because Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, right? I don't have to prove that I deserve God's love. God is permanently always open to me, right? It's always open. I have free access, as we'll see here in a little bit. I can spend more time, right, praising God and spend less time hating on myself, right? Like, oh, I'm such a horrible person because I continue to do this or I did that or whatever. But yeah, we need to recognize sin and we need to deal with it. But the enemy does a really good job of getting us focused on that and focused on ourselves and that sin and that circumstance instead of focused on what? The grace of God and who God is and what he's done in my life. And so hopefully that flip-flops as I run to the grace of God each and every day, right? Not to be saved again, right? But to continue to walk with him in holiness, I realize I have this unmerited favor with him. And I don't have to have this self-pity and hate on myself and be like Eeyore, you know, thanks for noticing me, you know, type reality of I can have joy, I can have encouragement because of grace that I'm saved. And now by it, I continue to stand in this peace that he has given me. And number two, what? Access. Right? He says there we have access. And this means that we continue to have access. Lord, it's this perfect tense in the verb there that it's I continue to have access. I don't get the one access into the throne room when I get saved and God's like, hey, say all of your wishes really quick and then get out of here. I continue to have that access. And you too, as a believer, if you are a believer, that I continue to go before the Lord and have access with him. And what a beautiful, beautiful thing that is. And then he goes on to say that we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so this is this logical conclusion as I realize that I have grace, that the believer has grace, and that I have peace with God, I have access with God, and this is all that Jesus has given me. I can now rejoice in this hope that I have in him. And I'm justified by faith. Justified by faith. So again, this only makes sense if I'm justified, if I'm cleansed, if I'm now just made as I've never sinned, if it's through faith, right, in him, in what he has done. So what has Jesus done for us, right? He's giving us peace with God, right? And he has also giving us, grace, and he's giving us access to him. And as we have this last 9 minutes or so, I want us to look at verses 3 and 4. And so he says, and not only that, right? And not only those things. If that wasn't enough, guys, it would have been enough if he just would have sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And then that was it, right? He could have just said, hey, you know what? You guys kind of messed things up with Adam and Eve, humanity. You're all full of sin, right? The wrath of God is going to be poured out. I'll just start over, like some kind of sci-fi movie in some other planet. But no, he says, I'm going to give you Jesus, my son, who's going to live a perfect life for you in your place. And he did that. And then he could have just walked away still and just said, all right, now you're saved, do whatever. But he didn't, right? Not only that, I mean, he's given us the Holy Spirit. I mean, the list goes on and on, but look at this. And not only that, but we can also glory in our tribulations. Anyone having a trial right now, right? Anyone dealing with some issues right now? You're going a little stir crazy, cabin fever. You just wish that your husband would go to work or your wife would go to work. I am that way. I was listening to something yesterday and they were saying the same thing. I am like, hey, honey, like, yes. Like, if I don't see her for 5 minutes, I miss her, right? Type thing. And where she's just like, hey, don't you like need to go work out somewhere or something, right? Don't you need to go and do something? And so we all have our little issues and our trials, right, that are going on in the midst of everything right now. But he says we can glory in our tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and a character, a hope, that does not disappoint. I'm going to read to you a little excerpt here from a book. And I highly recommend it if you haven't read it. I would encourage you to do so. But it's by a guy named Eugene Peterson. He actually wrote the Message Bible, which wasn't intended to be a translation. He actually started it writing it for Ephesians as he was teaching through it through his congregation. And he wrote it as a commentary. And then everyone in the body loved it, so he did the rest of the Bible as a commentary. But nonetheless, a really smart man just passed away about a year ago. But he wrote a book called Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And that's hard, right? It's easy in the sense of like, I get saved and yes, I have grace, I have peace with God, this is great. Then the tribulations come. Now all of a sudden, hey, this is real. And I think about that with the coronavirus, right? That this is real. We've read stories about things. We've seen Jesus being tempted and was in the wilderness and hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And we hear these stories, but then when we actually have to go through something similar or like it, right, and it's difficult, we're in a society that we don't like difficult things, right? When you're in college, or you ask even a student now in high school, what do you want to do when you grow up? I don't know, whatever is easiest and makes the most money, right? The idea of something that is hard and it's valuable because it's hard is becoming lost, right? You know, everyone wants to work out, but no one wants to put in the time. I want to work out for 5 minutes and, man, shoot up something, and then all of a sudden I'm buff. I want to, you know, just eat some right things, and all of a sudden I look like that person. It doesn't work that way, right? We have to do hard things. And this is what he says, and I love it. It's a little long, so bear with me. He says, the moment we say no to the world and yes to God, all of our problems are solved. All our questions are answered. All our troubles are over. Nothing can disturb the tranquility of the soul of peace with God. Nothing can interfere with the blessed assurance that all is well between me and my Savior. Nothing and no one can upset the enjoyable relationship that has been established by faith in Jesus Christ. We Christians are among that privileged company of persons who don't have accidents, who don't have arguments with our spouses, who aren't misunderstood by our peers, whose children do not disobey us. If any of those things should happen, a crushing doubt, a squall of anger, a desperate loneliness, an accident that puts us in the hospital, an argument that puts us in the doghouse, a rebellion that puts us on the defensive, a misunderstanding that puts us in the wrong, it is a sign that something is wrong with our relationship with God. We have consciously or unconsciously retracted our yes to God, and God, impatient with our fickle faith, has gone off to take care of someone more deserving of his attention. Is that what you believe? If it is, I have some incredibly good news for you. You are wrong, right? Praise the Lord, right? You are wrong. But I felt that way. And maybe you felt that way, right? Like all of a sudden you've done something, or you've just been in positions, you've sinned, you've blown it. And you're like, yeah, man, God is, or I'm in a position where I it's difficult, and someone I know has cancer, I do, whatever, this tribulation that is before us now, oh, God is out dealing with other people who deserve it. Guys, nobody deserves it. And he loves us. And as a believer, you have that peace with God. You have that grace, and you have access. And now through your tribulations, number four, he works those things out for our good, for our good. And so in our closing moments here, I just want to look at that scripture and then share this last story with you. Excuse me. And not only that, but we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that what? Tribulations produces perseverance. So as I go through something, It produces an endurance. It's hard. It's difficult. And I learn to go through it. And I learn to persevere and not quit. And as I learn to quit, not quit, what happens? That produces a character. A character in me that, look, man, they went through tough times and they didn't curse God, right? They went through tough times and they still stayed the course. A character that people want to be around. A character that is good and is one of holiness for the Lord, for God. And that character produces a hope. Why? It's a hope that doesn't disappoint, because it's a hope in God that, hey, he saw me through it the first time. He'll see it through me, through me the second time. Whatever this is, guys, it's difficult, and he's going to see us through it. Whether it's through April, through May, through June, through July, they talk about a second wave that could come next fall. I have no idea. But nonetheless, he's going to see us through it. And in closing, I just want to share about this guy named Alan Gardner, and I don't have a lot of time. Excuse me. But there was a guy named Alan Gardner, and he was an Englishman. And by all accounts, if we look at him, he just lots of failure, right? What we would see, the world would see. He tried to go to, at first tried to go to South America, and the English church there and the powers that be said, hey, no, only clergy can go. We don't want you to go. So he tries to go to Africa. As he's going to Africa, right before that, his wife dies. Then as he actually gets to Africa, his daughter dies. And so things there just kind of blew up and failed, and it didn't work out because war broke out. And everywhere he turned, everywhere he went, it was just, no, close, no, seems failure. I'm trying to share the gospel. No, it doesn't work out. He finally gets his own money and his own ships, and he goes to South America there, to the Fuegians, I can't say their name, to the tribe there on the south side, near the Falklands, where actually Charles Darwin was. And he goes there, and he tries to minister to them, and it goes horrible. And they actually wind up being stranded on the beach. The locals don't invite him in, and he winds up actually starving to death, right, with him and some of his other friends that went with him. And I would just want to read a couple of things that he said in the midst of this. So this was found in his journal on the beach when the ship that arrived like 5 days later that was supposed to bring the food and supplies, 5 days after he died, because he penned it in his own journal. But some of his things, he says, as Gardner died, his heart seemed to overflow with thanksgiving. He said, great and marvelous are the loving kindness of my gracious God. He has preserved me hitherto, and for 4 days, although without bodily food, without any feeling of hunger or without thirst. Again, he wrote these remarkable words: should anything prevent me ever adding to this, let all my beloved ones at home rest assured that I was happy beyond all expression. The night I wrote these lines, and would not have changed situations with any living man, let them also be assured that my hopes were full and blooming with immortality, that heaven and love of Christ, and which mean one and the same divine thing, were in my heart, that the hope of glory, the hope laid up for me in heaven, filled my whole heart with joy and gladness, and that to me to live is to Christ, and to die is gain. I am in a strait between the two, to abide in the body or to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And it continues on. Look him up and look up his journal entries. And I know we got to close here. But the amazing thing is that he continued to follow the Lord in the midst of that. And after him, people came, and you know what? They were able to share Christ with them. And actually, 8 of them were murdered first. And then a 17-year-old came back, shared Christ with them, and they all started getting saved. And from this, Charles Darwin actually looked and said, I never thought I would see these savages be able to actually be coming to a place to where they could be human, if you will. And Charles Darwin actually started supporting this mission society, South American Mission Society, until the day he died. Look him up. But what I just want to say as we close, in all accounts, he looked like a failure. And he died in tribulation, giving his life for Christ. But in the midst of that, we don't know what's going to bring. In the midst of that, it brought a 17-year-old young man to come, and he was the one that was able to give the gospel and change the hearts of those people, obviously through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so just know that. Number one, right, we have peace with God. Number two, we have grace, praise the Lord, and we have access to the throne room of God every day. And through our tribulations, he will make them work for good. So God bless you guys. I don't know where you're at with this, but continue to hold your head high and look to the author and finisher of your faith in the midst of this. It will be tough. It will be difficult. But through that, it's going to produce endurance, a character, and a hope in Christ that the world will see in some way or another. So God bless you guys. Have a great and wonderful morning.